The November election is getting closer and closer. As the campaign heats up, states grapple with how to handle the pandemic.
It's certainly a race, but the election officials I've talked to say they're working, overtime as much as they can to try to make this as smooth as possible.
We'll talk about the issues facing voters, including safety and security. Plus, even as some businesses struggle, a select few are looking to go public.
Companies are only going to IPO if they think that they can make money for investors.
And the face mask frustration. We'll look at some of the innovations to keep them comfortable in the summer heat.
In South Korea, mask manufacturers are beginning to sell what's called anti-droplet masks, which are thinner, lighter, and easier to breathe in the hot weather.
It's Friday, June the 19th. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. Facebook has removed some Trump campaign posts and ads for violating its policy against hate speech. At issue, a large red downward-pointing triangle. It's a symbol historically used to identify political prisoners in Nazi concentration camps. A spokesman for the Trump campaign said the triangle was included because it is used by Antifa, which was referenced in the campaign ads. The sound of horns could be heard in the streets of Los Angeles yesterday in reaction to the Supreme Court ruling on DACA. As we talked about on the podcast yesterday, in a 5-4 opinion, the High Court blocked the Trump administration's move to cancel the program, saying it failed to give adequate justification. DACA is the Obama-era program giving legal protection to unauthorized immigrants who came to the U.S. as children. President Trump has vowed to appoint more conservative justices to the Supreme Court. Chinese prosecutors have charged two Canadian citizens with espionage. The case is being widely viewed as retaliation for Canada's arrest of a Huawei executive. Neither of the men charged could be reached for comment, and it wasn't known if they have lawyers. The Canadian embassy in Beijing referred a request for comment to Canada's capital. And today is Juneteenth, the day marking the end of slavery in the United States. We're seeing more companies make it a paid day off. It's part of a larger discussion on how companies are responding to the current dialogue on race. That was the topic of last night's podcast. You can hear it and also find various articles and videos on those issues at WSJ.com. Coming up, IPOs during the pandemic. We'll explain why more companies feel right now is a perfectly good time to go public. More signs of renewal in the IPO market, which was all but frozen by the pandemic. We're reporting on the big grocery chain Albertsons taking final steps toward going public next week. What's interesting is what it says about the big picture. Our markets reporter, Caitlin Ostroff, gives us the context.
While Albertsons' IPO is a positive sign that more companies might come back to the market, how many actually are able to do so in the coming months is less certain. Companies are only going to IPO if they think that they can make money for investors and they think that they can generate capital by doing so. So you're going to have more attention paid to COVID-19 infections, to the economic backdrop, before we see whether other companies actually decide to go public and start selling shares.
It's not even election day, yet there are already concerns about long lines at the polls. We'll take a look at how the pandemic is impacting the precincts. President Trump is preparing for his first big campaign rally in months Saturday night. It'll be held in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where there are worries the event could help spread the coronavirus. Temperature checks will be taken and hand sanitizer provided. Masks will be offered, but not required. From the campaign trail to the party conventions, the pandemic is already forcing many changes. Election Day presents its own challenges. Just last week in Georgia, many primary voters had to wait in long lines. The state said worker shortages because of COVID-19 contributed to the delays. The Wall Street Journal's Alexa Course covers election security and voting concerns and joins us now. So, Alexa, I was making a list of all of the different potential issues that could happen in this election. I have mail-in ballots, foreign interference, coronavirus. What tops the list of worries?
Yeah, so there are a lot of challenges going into this election. And in Georgia, what we saw was basically a perfect storm. We saw a lot of people wanting to vote by mail because of the coronavirus, and that's a big challenge in terms of logistics because it's an entirely different process for these local officials that aren't used to it. In terms of what tops the list, I think going into the election, a lot of people thought that cybersecurity and foreign interference were going to be our biggest concern. And there's still a concern, but now we have to deal with this added challenge of how do you run an election and keep voters and poll workers safe during a pandemic?
Well, let's talk about that, because at the end of the day, these elections, even though we are approaching a national election, it's all very local. We go to our churches, we go to our rec centers, we go to the schools to vote. And it's really up to the men and women who are on the ground in these local locations to pull this off in a successful way. Are they getting support, and who's helping them out?
Yeah, elections are really local in the U.S. There are thousands of different jurisdictions that, you know, play a big role in running elections where you are. I think in Georgia, local election officials had to deal with huge increase in mail ballots. They had to try to find poll workers and locations that could stay open during the pandemic. And then they were also trying to train poll workers on using the state's new voting machines. And a lot of poll workers still weren't really ready to use those machines when polls opened, which is one of the reasons we saw such long lines. In terms of who's helping, you know, Congress has given, you know, some money already since the pandemic to help run elections. But, you know, Democrats are pushing Congress to give more money and also to pass some new policies to try to add some uniformity to this. Republicans in Congress, they say they're maybe open to some money, but they don't want the federal government telling states how to run elections.
November's going to be here soon. These precincts are going to have to deal with the issues surrounding coronavirus, such as social distancing. Perhaps more people will mail in ballots this year, as we saw in Georgia. Is there enough time to create a successful plan?
Well, it's certainly a race, but the election officials I've talked to say they're working, you know, overtime as much as they can to try to make this as smooth as possible. I think the next test we'll see will actually be this coming Tuesday, where there's another batch of primaries and runoff elections in a few states.
Are there new concerns about voting fraud as states change procedures and potentially get more mail-in ballots?
From talking to researchers, the most important takeaway is that voter fraud in the U.S. is extremely rare with all types of voting. That said, we've seen some cases where mail voting or absentee voting has been involved in a few rare but high-profile cases of fraud. But, you know, the researchers I've talked to who've been studying this for years say that's still an extremely, you know, small number of votes compared to how many votes are cast across the country, and they would feel confident submitting an absentee ballot.
Alexa Kors covers cybersecurity and elections for The Wall Street Journal. Alexa, great to have you here.
Thanks for having me on.
Finally, keeping cool and comfortable while wearing a face mask. Sometimes even after going for a little walk, you almost feel like you've run a race. Now let's recognize it's getting warmer outside. Enter the fashion industry, which is designing new masks made for summer. The journal's In Young Jung is based in Seoul.
Mask manufacturers are coming up with all sorts of products in response to the warming weather. So in South Korea, mask manufacturers are beginning to sell what's called anti-droplet masks, which are thinner, lighter, and easier to breathe in the hot weather. And these are based on new mask guidelines that the government here has put out. In Japan, we've seen a company come out with face masks that have pockets to put in ice packs to keep cool. And sportswear companies are also jumping in to make masks out of high-tech material that they would usually use to make sportswear.
She says some Asian clothing companies are looking into exporting these to the U.S., but no date set yet. And that's what's news for this morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. We're back with another episode this evening. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.